Hey, producer Bobby Gonzalez here. Before this episode of Spoken Dreams, I want to tell you about a couple other podcasts from KTLA that you might want to subscribe to if you haven't already. First, there's Frank Buckley Interviews, where KTLA news anchor Frank Buckley hosts intimate conversations with celebrities, influencers, newsmakers, and more. Then there's The News Director's Office, hosted by KTLA News Director Jason Ball. This podcast offers a behind-closed-doors look at local media and the news-gathering process, as well as the people who make up the industry. You can subscribe to those wherever you listen to podcasts, and for more information, visit ktla.com/podcasts. Now, here's Spoken Dreams. Shane Elizabeth is a writer, originally from Chicago. What started as a deep love for television eventually led to a pursuit of a career in screenwriting. After studying in Chicago and New York City, Shane made her way to the place she obsessed over since she was a kid, Hollywood. It was there that she began working in reality television. Later, a feature that Shane had written got some promising attention, and just as the project was looking like it would become a reality, the whole thing fell through. It was then that Shane stepped away from her writing and took a spiritual journey to India. While in India, Shane discovered that even if you try, you can never really give up doing the thing that you love most. I'm Bobby Gonzalez, and this is Spoken Dreams.
Hi, my name is Shane Elizabeth, and I'm a writer, and I also do story producing for reality television. I am originally from Chicago. I've been in Los Angeles for 14 years now, pursuing and chasing the dream of being a writer. I have loved writing since I wrote my first book when I was 11 years old. It was called Danger on the Slopes of Steamboat because skiing is my number one thing that I absolutely loved to do when I was growing up. So everybody had to write a book, and it was a little competition at our school. I got to write everything that I wanted to, create my own characters for the first time and tell this story on the mountain while also, you know, having the characters ski, which was a really big thing for me back then. And we had a little competition, and I ended up winning. Like, I think I got like second place for our class, so it was very exciting. So that was kind of where I got my creative inspiration for the first time ever. I went to the University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, for broadcast journalism with creative writing and religious studies dual minors. At University of Illinois, they didn't have any sort of script writing, so that was the closest thing that I could do. But then, junior year of college, I went out to New York, and I took my first ever screenwriting summer course at NYU, and I was doing an internship, actually, at NBC at the time. And that's where I learned the fundamentals and the structuring of screenwriting, and I wrote my first screenplay. And that's when I knew that, yes, screenwriting is what I want to pursue, and NYU was amazing. I have always wanted to be in Los Angeles. I grew up being obsessed with television. I used to have everything all over the walls, from Joey Lawrence and Blossom to Saved by the Bell. And it has always been like 90210, Point Break. These are the movies and the TV shows that literally made me want to come to Los Angeles at a very young age. My boyfriend at that time drove with me, packed everything up. The two of us rode out, 23 years old. I remember we drove straight through 12 hours. He drove most of it, and I just remember coming in to Hollywood, and I had never seen it at this point. So I'm expecting, like, you know, I come from Chicago, I lived in New York. I'm like, great, high rise, public transportation, city life, here we come. And we're riding in, and all of a sudden I see the horizon and the mountains and the Hollywood sign, and I'm just like totally overwhelmed because my dream is finally coming true. And it was so exciting, but I was like, this isn't a city, where's the city? The city is downtown LA, that at that point absolutely no one went to. So it was that was actually the most shocking part about it. I was coming because I'd actually already got a job from my family friends was an executive producer for a reality TV show. This was in 2004, so reality was very relatively new. So I had a job as a clearance coordinator. They allowed me to skip the PA position. I stayed there for a couple of months, and yeah, it was very exciting. And then I got to go to my first production company, Evolution Productions, and see what it was all like and learn about the reality TV. I kind of fell into that, even though I wanted to come for scripted television. That kind of, that was the first jump that I made and went from there. In 2007, I finally quit reality and I was like, that's it. This is taking way too much of my time. So that's when I finally started getting really serious about my writing. I wrote my first two features, again, based off of things in my life. When I was at the University of Illinois, I was a tri-delt. And so I wrote this whole script about the sorority rushing process, because you always see it from the pledge perspective, but you never see it from the sophomore who's now in, and they're responsible for getting the hottest girls on campus in order to remain the hottest house on campus. So I wrote this comedy about that, and then I also did a mockumentary on the Medieval Times dinner attraction. And I actually did get my first manager at that point through a friend that I met on a desk next to me. Her boyfriend was a junior manager, and he read my stuff, and he was so excited, and he was helping me out, and everything was going great. And he actually introduced me to this, it was a small production company, this director, but he had a couple things out. He was legit, and he's like, this is my next script. I love it for the sorority one. It's called Hot Girls. And he's like, I love it. And he takes me out to Tropicana, which is at the Roosevelt Hotel. And he's like, you know, I want you to meet my agents, my manager. And it was like a surreal moment. Like, is it really happening? And I go and I meet these guys and they're like, yeah, we're going to get distribution and funding. Like, we're so excited. Then all these women that he works with, because it was a sorority script that he had shot other movies with, were there as well. They started quoting lines from my movie and saying which girl they wanted to be. And that was so exciting, and I couldn't believe it was happening. And at this point, I had my day job was I was working in development at this point for reality TV for September Films. And I thought, yes, finally, I don't have to do this anymore. So excited. And then I get a call. Within 2 seconds, my whole project is done because Miley Cyrus decided to come out with a movie called So Undercover. And it was so bad, it went right to DVD and never even hit the theaters, where she goes undercover as a cop to a sorority. And because of that, all investors were freaked out about sorority films, didn't want to invest, and literally just like that, Miley Cyrus threw a wrecking ball into my dreams. And he called me up and he's like, sorry, we gotta pass, now is not the time, it's not gonna work out, like no one wants to put money into it, and the end. After that, I really kind of went on a break from writing. I was back in reality TV. At this point, I was doing logging for tons of different TV shows, which is like a super easy thing that a lot of writers do, where you just watch all the unedited footage and you literally clip the best moments and interviews for the producers. At that point also, yeah, I kind of fell into the LA spiritual community, which is a whole nother show and story. So I got really involved in Kundalini yoga and working with Reiki and doing all that. And so that kind of, I was on that path more, and I kind of stepped away from writing. So I actually went to India, did my 2-month spiritual journey alone all across India. And I actually filmed too. I shot a documentary. So that was an exciting thing that I did on my own. But while I was there, you know, my dream of writing can never go away. It's always there. It was like, I have to get back to my writing. Like, this is my sole purpose in life. This is why I went to India, to find what my true truth is. And so then in 2014, when I got back, I moved into this absolutely crazy house in Brentwood, where this woman called it the Writer's Estate Studio. And I had this beautiful pool house of this like $5 million mansion that turned out to be absolutely crazy. This woman had the house in foreclosure for the last 10 years and was renting it out to artists and then living off of our money. And everything came to a head when I was there, where the sheriff came and repossessed the house. So naturally, I wrote a script about it. I was writing it with one of my really good friends who is an actress. I asked her to write it with me because she was in the house a lot and saw these people. And we literally started storyboarding everything in the house using code names for them on my wall. They could come in and we're like, oh, don't look at the wall, don't look at the wall. And sure enough, yeah, we sent it to this producer that she knew just to get notes. And he called us right away and was like, I absolutely love this. I want to attach myself. I'm totally in. So we worked with him from 2015 to literally about 2017, rewriting. So that kind of all propelled, and that was very exciting. And at the time, I got a new manager, so now I was like back in it, and I was writing other scripts too. But yeah, sure enough, as it all, again, then everything came to a halt at the end of 2017. So there's that fun Hollywood story as well. I just can't throw in the towel because it is who I am, and I know that like my purpose in life is to be a writer, and I have all these stories that I've collected from my personal life and characters that I know would be great on screen or even in a book. In 2014, when I came back from India, I also started writing my memoir, which is heavily based in living in Los Angeles, the spiritual community, and growing up adopted and all that. So that's like my main thing, actually. It's funny where television is, yes, definitely the medium I want to pursue, but I feel like this book is like what I was meant to do, and I get to be my true voice in that book. It really is my truth, and so even though I do want it to be published and I'd love for it to be successful, it really is when I am actually writing it, it's so intense to write, which is why it's been on and off for these last 4 years, because I start to get into my truth, and I am not afraid to reveal my insecurities and to reveal my negatives and also my attributes and my positives. And I just realized that I'm hoping it could help. It could help people. You know, it's just kind of like being as truthful as you could possibly be in those words and in that moments will then inspire other people to live in their truth. And coming from being adopted and struggling in this industry, it's just about creating an awareness. And another thing that I have is that I am legally deaf. I have 60% loss in both ears, and that has been an incredibly embarrassing journey for me that I'm finally now just starting to work with, in terms of having to wear hearing aids and what that's like and missing out on a lot and being very, very shy when I was little growing up. And it's been hard to, you know, it was hard to make friends because I never really knew what people were saying, but I also refused to be labeled as a girl wearing hearing aids. So there's that whole path too of just having this disability and hiding it and not wanting people to know and coming to terms with it now and accepting it. So it's like, got a lot going on. You know, I'm like a redhead, legally deaf, left-handed, adopted woman in Los Angeles trying to make it as a writer. You know, it's been 14 years and I actually have 14 scripts that I've written, and I'm currently working on a memoir and I have a bunch of short stories. So it's just, I can't, you know, I try to go away from it, but it's always there in the back of my mind where it's like, I don't know what else I would do. I know that I have talent. I have confidence in my writing. So I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's been 14 years and I still haven't been able to give it up, and I just feel like you can't. I feel like that's what this industry is, and if you really believe in yourself and you know you're supposed to be here and do it, eventually it will happen. And in the meantime, I genuinely enjoy it. And I love when I tell everybody, okay, this is a weekend of writing for me. Don't call me, don't text me. And I spend the whole weekend alone and I just do my process. I do my creative process. I have my boards up. I get my characters down. I go in. I become a part of those characters and in that world. And that's the most exciting thing. Like, I love doing that. Whether it sells or not, it's still something that makes me the happiest.
With Shane Elizabeth, we'll have links to her writing blog she kept while in India up on our website, ktla.com/spokendreams. In addition to writing, Shane is also doing voice acting. You can hear some of that also on the website. If you want to keep up with me, you can follow along on Instagram @soundslikebobby and follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram @spokendreamspod. I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts. And maybe even leave a review while you're at it. Your feedback is always appreciated. Spoken Dreams is back with a new episode next Monday, so until then, break a leg. Spoken Dreams is produced by me, Bobby Gonzalez, for the KTLA 5 News in Los Angeles. Executive producers are Olson Ebright and Jason Ball. And I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what you thought of this week's story, or even tell me your own story. You can shoot me an email at spokendreams@ktla.com.